हरिः ॐ सहनौ भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे
हरे
राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 20, Lord Chaitanya instructs Sanatana Goswami in the science of the Absolute Truth. Page 115, verse 2, 20, 103 to 108. Srila Sanatana Goswami continued, Actually, I do not know how to inquire about the goal of life and the process for obtaining it. Being merciful upon me, please explain all these truths. Right, so even how to inquire, what to inquire about, that's an important thing. Because otherwise we may see is we don't know how to inquire. You don't know the subject matter, you don't know what's important. Right? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Lord Krishna has bestowed his full mercy upon you, so that all these things are known to you. For you, the threefold miseries certainly do not exist. Since you possess Lord Krishna's potency, you certainly know these things. However, it is the nature of a sadhu to inquire. Although he knows these things, the sadhu inquires for the sake of strictness. Quote, those who are eager to awaken their spiritual consciousness and who have thus unflinching, undeviating intelligence certainly attain the desired goal of life very soon. Footnote 45. This verse, quoted from the Naradiya Purana, is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.103. You are fit to propagate the cult of devotional service. Therefore, gradually hear all the truths about it from me. I shall tell you about them. It is the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna, because he is the marginal energy of Krishna, and a manifestation simultaneously one with and different from the Lord, like a molecular part of sunshine or fire. Krishna has three varieties of energies. Right? So very, very succinctly and exactly, the Lord Chaitanya has said all the things about the living entity themselves. That they're the internal servant of Krishna, that's the important part. Right? Then the marginal energy, and then their relationship is a simultaneous one with and different from. Like that, you know, and then he gives the example of the particle of sunshine or fire. Right? Okay. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains these verses as follows. Sri Sanatana Goswami asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Who am I? In answer, the Lord replied, You are a pure living entity. You are neither the gross material body nor the subtle body composed of mind and intelligence. Actually, you are a spirit soul, eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, Krishna. Therefore, you are his eternal servant. You belong to Krishna's marginal potency. There are two worlds, the spiritual world and the material world, and you are situated between the material and spiritual potencies. You have a relationship with both the material and the spiritual world. Therefore, you are called the marginal potency. Right there, that also then establishes the point, is that you have a relationship with both, so you have to be in a position that's between both. Right, but being such means from an expansion of the internal potency, you're going to be situated there, but right on the edge where both are there. So, yeah.
Actually, Maharaj, he sees you only freedom that we have, the choice material.
Yes, like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, as an individual, you can always choose to take what you're taking part in. But that's the point, is this, that we have the choice, that inspiration.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
See, is that when the living entity, then we see the pure living entities, because of being inspired by Krishna, then the Anubhavas, from Vibhava, the Anubhavas, they want to do some activity, some service, something to please Krishna. That's their natural mood. like that. Well, in the material world, then they're interested in their own sense gratification. So then whatever things come up that they can see in relationship to themselves, then that Anubhava is there to, endeavor to taste whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So that point is that desire is there. That's the main thing. How mechanically the other things are taken care of, that doesn't matter. You can say, no, but I want to do it myself. Okay, let's talk about it. Okay, you want to, eat a sandwich. Okay, great. So then you're eating this sandwich. How are you going to eat this sandwich? Right? It says, it's over on the table. How will that be eaten? Well, I'll walk over there. Okay, and then what will you do? Well, I'll pick it up and take a bite. Okay, and then I'll chew and I'll swallow it. And then? Do you control after that? No. Also, where'd the potency for you to walk, to lift up, to bite, to chew, those are even subtler. But even from there, and then how does that nourish your body? You're sitting there going, nourish, nourish, nourish. No, it just happens. So you had I want to take part in this eating process, but digestion and nourishment of the body, that happens on its own. So you, as it is, we do. So how much we're doing is enough for us. We don't feel we have to control everything, And so Krishna's energies, they take care of these things. So as a person, then taking part in things, that's there. But the mechanics of how all that comes together, that's not us. Does that make sense? That is the Sarvat season, it's the full moon. That's not us. Yogamaya's arranged that for Krishna. But in that, then we can want to take part in services that will be happening within that pastime. So the freedoms we have are enough. We can say, no, but we want more. The point is we're not unlimited. We're limited. And we're happy with what works within our nature, within our limit. Does that make sense? And so we've been satisfied up to now. Why is it suddenly now, we want to be the supreme control? Then you just fall back into the same pattern that got us here. It's not progressive. So therefore, it's that desire to be in contact with Krishna. Then that takes us into Yogamaya's arrangement. Or if we have the desire for our own sense gratification, that will take us into Mahamaya's arrangement. So. Okay, you have a relationship with both the material and the spiritual world, therefore you're called the marginal potency. You are related with Krishna as one and simultaneously different. Because you are spirit soul, you are one in quality with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because you are a very minute particle of spirit soul, you are different from the Supreme Soul. Therefore your position is simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Soul. The examples given are those of the sun itself, and the small particles of sunshine, and of a blazing fire and the small particles of fire. Another explanation of these verses can be found in Adi Lila chapter 2, verse 96. Udriti, Adi Lila chapter 2, 96, purport. Srila Jiva Goswami states in his Bhagavat Sandarbha 16 that by his potencies, which act in natural sequences beyond the scope of the speculative human mind, the supreme transcendence, the summum bonum, externally and simultaneously exists in four transcendental features. Even though it's beyond the scope of our speculative, it's the fact. Because we'll say, unless I can speculate it, it's not possible. But there's so many things that aren't being able to be speculated, and they still are a fact. So the four. His personality, his impersonal effulgent, particles of his potency, the living beings, and the principal cause of all causes. The supreme whole is compared to the sun, which also exists in four features, namely the personality of the sun god, the glare of his glowing sphere, the sun rays inside the sun planet, and the sun's reflections in many other objects. The ambition to corroborate the existence of the transcendental absolute truth by limited conjectural endeavors cannot be fulfilled, because he is beyond the scope of our limited speculative minds. In an honest search for truth, we must admit that his powers are inconceivable to our tiny brains. The exploration of space has demanded the work of the greatest scientists of the world, yet there are countless problems regarding even fundamental knowledge of the material creation that bewilder scientists who confront them. Such material knowledge is far removed from the spiritual nature, and therefore the acts and arrangements of the absolute truth are, beyond all doubts, inconceivable. The primary potencies of the absolute truth are mentioned to be three: internal, external, and marginal. By the acts of his internal potency, the personality of Godhead in his original form exhibits the spiritual cosmic manifestation known as the Vaikuntha Lokas, which exists eternally, even after the destruction of the material cosmic manifestation. By his marginal potency, the Lord expands himself as living beings who are part of him, just as the sun distributes its rays in all directions. By his external potency, the Lord manifests the material creation, just as the sun with its rays creates fog. The material creation is but a perverse reflection of the eternal Vaikuntha nature. Right, so then before it was saying, okay, personality, impersonal effulgent particles of his potency, and the principal cause of all causes. So that would be like the Paramatma aspect. Supreme Holy Composer, okay. Sun God, the glare of the glowing sphere, sun rays inside the spiritual inside the sun planet, so that is internal potency. Sun's reflections in many other objects than the external. These three energies of the Absolute Truth are also described in the Vishnu Purana, where it is said that the living being is equal in quality to the internal potency, whereas the external potency is indirectly controlled by the chief cause of all causes. Maya, the illusory energy, misleads a living being as fog misleads a pedestrian by blocking off the light of the sun. Although the potency of Maya is inferior in quality to the marginal potency, which consists of the living beings who are part and parcel of the Lord, it nevertheless has the power to control the living beings, just as fog can block the actions of a certain portion of the sun's rays, though it cannot cover the sun. Yeah, so that's the interesting thing. The fog's created by the sun. It can cover the living entities, right? But it can't cover the sun. So much better explanation of how Maya works than what the Mayavadis try to do. Mm-hmm. Right? That they really, you know, they can't understand because they don't accept energies.
Yes.
Right. So there's just there's just Brahman, and then there's illusion. Yes. Where that comes from, then that they can't explain, and then everything else after that is just illusion.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah. The living beings covered by the illusory energy evolve in different species of life, with bodies ranging from that of an insignificant ant to that of Brahma, the constructor of the cosmos. The Pradhan, the chief cause of all causes in the impersonal vision, is none other than the Supreme Lord, whom one can see face to face in the internal potency. He takes the material, all-pervasive form by his inconceivable power. Although these all three potencies, namely internal, external, marginal, are essentially one in the ultimate issue, because they're all Surup Shakti, they are different in action, like electric energy, which can produce both cold and heat under different conditions. Right? So the effect, the cold, is different from the heat, but it's both coming from electricity. Right? The external and marginal potencies are so called under various conditions, but in the original internal potencies, there are no such conditions, nor is it possible for the conditions of the external potency to exist in the marginal or vice versa. One who is able to understand the intricacies of all these energies of the Supreme Lord can no longer remain an inferior impersonalist under the influence of a poor fund of knowledge. Interesting. The Pradhan, the chief cause of all causes in the impersonal vision.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the Lord as Brahman, as Pradhan, then you get the whole material manifestation. So it appears that Pradhan is the that's the, you know, that's an aspect, the Shakti of Brahman.
I think it's explained in the next Paramatma Sandarbha at this point. Like, first the Maya, which is the internal external energy, is transformed.
Right.
Then it becomes Jiva Maya. An aspect of Jiva Maya is the Maya, the Guna Maya, which Pradhan is. Because that ego is what? The ego at the level of Jiva Maya, that get transformed. That Shakti is manifest in the Pradhan. So that's why the living entities can identify. It's that ego which is the Supreme Lord, for which it's manifestation. So the material identity which we see in the material world is under this Guna Maya, that Pradhan. And then, when you remove all those, then the original, which is the causal body identification with the material creation, because we turned away from Krishna. And then, I think that ego is what referred to Lord Shiva, who is the controller.
Yeah? Yeah, Nimitta and Upadana is the same principle. One is material cause, one is efficient cause. And then everything goes down from there. So the Lord is both. He's Upadana, which is, I think, that's the material cause. Eh? And then Nimitta, which is efficient cause.
And efficient means?
Efficient means, you know, how it all...
Behind. How is the...
The mechanics of how it transforms.
Yeah. High all functions.
Okay. Oh, okay, okay. So that means that's also then where you get the two potencies of Maya then from.
No, both of these are included in one. And the Jiva Maya is included is something else.
Okay.
It's described in detail.
Saying there's the Gunas, and then there's the activities.
Yeah, yeah, that.
That's what I'm saying, because it's all coming from Krishna, then it'll have these. You're going to have the situation, and then how that situation works.
Yes.
Udriti. So this is a Udriti in an Udriti. Wow. Okay. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 3. Here, Lord Chaitanya does not give the information about the spirit soul that is already described in Bhagavad Gita. Rather, he begins from the point where Krishna ended his instruction. The spirit soul surrender completely under the supreme soul, Krishna. It is accepted by great devotees that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. And from this point of view, he begins his instructions to Sanatana. From the point where he ended his instructions to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. That's interesting. 220, 110 to 117. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, just as the illumination of a fire, which is situated in one place, is spread all over, the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman, are spread all over the universe. 46. This is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana, 122.53. Lord Krishna naturally has three energetic transformations, and these are known as the spiritual potency, the living entity potency, and the illusory potency. Originally, quote, originally Krishna's energy is spiritual, and the energy known as the living entity is also spiritual. However, there is another energy called illusion, which consists of fruitive activity. That is the Lord's third potency. Footnote 47. This is a quotation from Vishnu Purana 6761. All the creative energies which are inconceivable to a common man exist in the Supreme Absolute Truth. These inconceivable energies act in the process of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. O chief of the ascetics, just as there are two energies possessed by fire, namely heat and light, these inconceivable creative energies are the natural characteristics of the Absolute Truth. Footnote 48. This is also a quotation from the Vishnu Purana 132. O King, the Kshetra Gya Shakti is the living entity. Although he has the facility to live in either the material or spiritual world, he suffers the threefold miseries of material existence because he is influenced by the avidya, nescience, potency, which covers his constitutional position. This living entity, covered by the influence of nescience, exists in different forms in the material condition. O king, he is thus proportionately freed from the influence of the material energy to greater or lesser degrees. 49. These verses are also quoted from the Vishnu Puran 6-7, 62-63. Besides these inferior energies, O mighty armed Arjuna, there's another superior energy of mind which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. Footnote 50. This is a verse from the Bhagavad Gita 7-5. Forgetting Krishna, the living entity has been attracted by the external feature from time immemorial. Therefore, the illusory energy, Maya, gives him all kinds of misery in his material existence. Srila Prabhupada. When the living entity forgets his constitutional position as an eternal servant of Krishna, he is immediately entrapped by the illusory external energy. The living entity, so that point, as soon as he forgets his constitutional position, he's a servant of Krishna, then this whole material process unfolds. So you see, Lord Chaitanya starts from the soul as eternal servant of Krishna. Because that's the point that makes the difference. Does that make sense? It means you can go forward into prema, but when you come back, then you're at the neutral state as, are you servant of Krishna or servant of the senses? And so that's the point that switches. So we see that he starts with that, which is very interesting. The living entity is original part and parcel of Krishna and is therefore the superior energy of Krishna. He is endowed with inconceivable minute energy that works inconceivably within the body. However, the living entity, forgetting his position, is situated in material energy. The living entity is called the marginal energy because by nature he is spiritual, but by forgetfulness he is situated in the material energy. Right? So his natural position is in the spiritual, but if he forgets Krishna, then he ends up in the material. Thus he has the power to live either in the material energy or in the spiritual energy. And for this reason he is called marginal energy. Being in the marginal position, he is sometimes attracted by the external illusory energy, and this is the beginning of his material life. When he enters the material energy, he is subjected to the threefold time measurement, past, present, and future. Past, present, and future belong only to the material world. They do not exist in the spiritual world. The living entity is eternal, and he existed before the creation of this material world. Unfortunately, he has forgotten his relationship with Krishna. The living entity's forgetfulness is described herein as anadi, which indicates that it has existed since time immemorial. One should understand that due to his desire to enjoy himself in competition with Krishna, the living entity comes into the material existence. Right? So even though it's anadi, since time immemorial, there's a point when he comes into material existence. But because that choice is happening in the spiritual platform, then it's beyond time, because there's only time in the material world. Therefore, you say it's anadi. You can't define it because it happened on the spiritual platform. It's you can't judge it by the material time. So by material time, it's anadi. Right? You know, some like to say no, but he was never in this. But the point is here comes into material existence. So that means before that, he wasn't in material existence. He had to be in spiritual existence. Because there's only these two, spiritual and material existence, as far as existence goes. We can choose of the two, but we're not an existence. Right? The spiritual and material, they make those places. Because the sandini on us produces consciousness. But the sandini on the internal potency creates all the Vaikunthas, all the Dham, all everything that is going on. And on the material world creates the 14 planetaries. So they have existences. Mm-hmm. We exist, but we're not a position in which other things are existing. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So one has to be coming from the spiritual platform. It doesn't mean that one has, that one is taking advantage of that and developing prema. It means that one is on this that platform, and because of forgetfulness of Krishna, that I'm servant of Krishna, that then switches us into the material. Right? Yes.
Today we had a discussion, and it's the 15th chapter of Jayavadharma. It's exactly the same topic.
Mm.
And it's, I mean, I have to admit, it's really complex. We got stuck for 1 hour. I couldn't read it in one word of the whole this. So the question was asked, one of the questions, if we are tatastha by nature, why do we have to take shelter of the internal or external? Why can't we, if it is our nature, why can't we just stay tatastha? Why can't we just be on that marginal platform?
What's the advantage?
So the advantage is not going into metta. That's the advantage.
So then you're saying like a kind of like a Buddhism is better than being in material energy.
Basically.
So, and then how will that benefit the living entity?
Well, at least there is no harm, no suffering in the material world.
Yeah, but then there's nothing positive. And so, because the jiva is sat, chit, ananda, where's the ananda element? Where's the sat, the chit element going to be dealt with? So you're just saying, if I just remain in sat, I'll be happy. So these are impersonal philosophies. They're trying to say that logically, no, we could have, but how do you, what do you do there? What do you do? Because there's sat, chit, ananda, then you're going to be conscious, you're going to have knowledge of this, and then there's what is your position? How will that be developed? Because the point is also, they're saying, okay, we're tatastha shakti, we're marginal shakti, and that's our nature, but we're also by nature servant of Krishna. How are they addressing that point? How will that be taken care of? Yes.
Also, the point is, we are marginal, as also we are anu by nature. So, that is the definition is, by nature, you would be swayed away either by internal or external energy. So, it's like on the shore, when something is there, either you pick it out or it is inside the ocean. You cannot stay there because that is the meaning of tatastha. So, it's not an option to stay there.
Yeah, because it's not a position of existence. That's what we were saying before. So you have these two fields of existence, and tatastha is just those living entities that could live in one or the other. Because that's defined as our nature. See, they're producing a third option here just to keep out of the material world. So that's just contamination of impersonalism. Desire for liberation. Because their desire there is to not have any problems in the material world. There's nothing positive there. But since we're Satchitananda, there's the positive element. So how are they addressing that? So they say, but it's our nature. But they're only addressing one aspect of it. What about the servant? What about all these other things? What about the knowledge and activities? Because we're an expansion of the internal potency. That's also being left out. We're looking at, there's the internal, there's the external, and then there's us sitting right there in a blank. But if we notice, is that the example of given of the beach, you know, which is it? If the sea is out, you call it land. But so if the living entity is absorbed in Krishna, then he's on the land. But if he's not, then the water comes up, then it's ocean. So it's not that he can be there and he's independent and everything like that. How would he just sit there? See, in other words, they're by their own speculation producing a situation that doesn't exist and then trying to argue it as that it's better than being in the material world. But that's how the Mayavadis and, you know, everybody else other than the Vaishnavas comes up with philosophy, because that's the whole position that they're all going for. So it's a mundane perception. It's not that this concept of theirs is spiritual and philosophical and all that. It's just the desire for liberation and getting out of the material world, and at the same time maintaining your independence. And I'll be happy in that position. So I'm getting my happiness and my control and enjoy. I'm independent, I'm enjoying, and I'm not in the material world. But Lord Chaitanya's first thing he says is that they are servants of Krishna. That's the first point he makes. That's not being discussed in that question. That question is not leaving any... it's not part of anything to do in that question. It's not one of the elements that you can discuss on. Does that make sense? So it's not a complete, and that they're trying to make it as its own complete. But the ultimate point, the goal of that is just liberation. So that shows the attachment to that, which is going to be the common point is we're contaminated by karma or jnana. We want to work, get the results and enjoy that, or it's frustrating, we just want to get out of here. These are the two basic positions of everybody in the material world. So it's not strange that it would come up. But at the same time, it should be understood that that's what it is. So it's not spiritual. They should not think I'm being very intellectual and spiritual here. They're just discussing, the impersonal concept of liberation. Because it's not even Vaishnav concept of liberation. Because in there, there's service. Because in that neutral position, how will they fulfill their nature as servant of Krishna? Because they're taking time and space that, we have completely separate things. But the point is we're not separate. That's like saying the sunshine. Well, the sunshine can just be on its own. But the point is the sunshine's connected with the sun, not with the cloud. Yes?
Also, it is said, the spiritual potency is unlimited, the material potency is unlimited, but the marginal potency consists of individual jivas, which are tiny, minute.
And each one
is not unlimited. Yeah. So that's why...
Yeah, because where will they take shelter of? That's the thing. Say you stay in a neutral, take shelter of what?
Well, in a group, in themselves, because they are minute, but they are many.
Yeah, but then how will you work that out? Who's going to keep them together in a group? Who's going to do that for you?
The marginal energy, the energy itself.
The energy itself, but it's just been defined that it's made up of all these individual living entities. So who's going to be the boss? So the person asking the question, who's going to be the mukha who arranges it all?
Eka
Jivavat. Yes, Eka Jivavat. Yeah, that could work.
Eka Jivavat, they actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur addresses that point. Very short, but he addresses everything.
Yeah.
Brahma Parinam, then the reflection, then the shadow, then Eka Jivavat. So that we over, but somehow or other, then the next question was when we tried to explain it.
Because they're saying it's just its own separate energy, but the point is it's an expansion of the... means the living entities that are there, they're that potency. But we don't hear of a personality of a marginal potency that controls it. Maya we know, internal potency we know, but have we ever heard of a personality of marginal potency? A deity of that? Because you're transferring from one to the other. So you have on the edge here, you could be here, or you could be here. But we're taking it that we're a separated, like that. No, Maya is separated energy. That's why you can have here or there, but we're connected here. And then when this transforms, now we're in Maya. Then we transform back, then we're back here. We're not on our own independent. They're trying to take it and see, because it's the third sea, it's like this, but no, it's not. We are a third energy, but we're the minute particles. Just like Krishna's unlimited, then you're going to have the limited. We're the limited. So if they want to get together, like that, in that great, that great sauna in the, in the marginal potency where they can all get together and like that. But then they won't have any senses to appreciate it. They won't have any... You know, nobody will have any hands, so you can't use the vinik. What do you call it?
Vinik.
Yeah, you know, for whacking each other. You know, so I mean, who's going to put the wood on the fire? Who's going to throw the water? You know, it's like, you know, it's not going to happen. And then afterwards, who's going to get to eat all the things? You know.
Another question was asked. Then, okay, it's not.
Like we were saying that, came with this morning, unless it was yesterday. The point is that you make a point, and they have 10 ideas. Let's say, just an example, 10 ideas of their philosophical points and how they're proving their point, though but not necessarily any of them are properly connected.
Yeah.
And so they make this point, and when you prove this one wrong or thought, they just immediately pick another one. They don't care. So I say, so okay, we discuss that, and then they get, you know, it's just that's just then the next speculation comes up.
No, it was actually connected, because then we said, okay, and explain, like Prabhu explaining and this and that, minute, they have to take shelter. So they said, okay, so for how long can we actually remain in Tathasta?
But Tathasta means like this, is that. Because they want to know time. Time's only in the material.
Yeah.
So it's already given, anadi. You can stay as long as you like. You know what I'm saying? And it looks like this. Until you meet the pure devotee and take seriously the process of devotional service and develop faith, literally, you are eternally in Hotel California. You're not getting out. So you can either be here eternally, or take it up and be there eternally. What's this point of being in the middle? What do they mean? Because as soon as they say time, you're in the material world. You're in the Mahatattva. So their question is a material question again. The other one was about liberation. This one's about time.
So basically we can't stay in Tathasta. We got to choose.
Yeah, you have to choose.
And as soon as we choose, then the whole process starts. The spiritual,
yes,
or material.
Yes. That's you know, like that. Because basically means that you can be moving very slowly in either one of them, but as soon as you make a commitment, then you're there. You know? Because it can be as there's an interest in Krishna, but at the same time as there's an interest in cow dung patties and feeding the kids and doing all that. And so it just things go very slow. So you don't meet the nitya siddhas, and so you haven't developed that rati, to that intensity, that exclusiveness that's required. Because, you know, in other places you see is just they there, go forearm, go back to Vaikuntha, there they are, and it all happens. Mm-hmm. But the uniqueness of Braja Bhakti is it's exclusive, it's kevala. So that has to be developed. So having the qualification for the pure devotee to be in Vaikuntha, that's just part of the package. But to get to be in Braj, that you by that association, you can develop that. It means it's only by association of Vaishnavas you can get to Vaikuntha also. Does that make sense? So that kevala aspect. So then when that then you see is that, okay, if by the time the rasa dance comes up, so that's been, you know, whatever it is, X amount of years, and you haven't come to that place of you know, apandasa, where you can then are associating with the Lord directly, then you're going to figure out on that night when Krishna blows the flute that I should get it together. And so therefore you absorb yourself in Krishna like that, and then that burns off all the any, you know, fragrances left, whatever's left from attachment to piety or impiety. You know, because it's very common people are giving up impiety, but you have to give up the attachment to piety also. You know, so that's devotees talk about being good and doing this and pleasing the people, and this is attachment to piety. Where did that come from? You go back 50 years, they didn't have that. That's developed from chanting. But they have the piety, but you still have to give up attachment to piety. Because piety just means good qualities not connected to Krishna.
Well, another point was there. I've noticed it. They didn't, and I was like happy they didn't notice that point.
Okay.
So we were reading through, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that.
Oh, but at the same time as I think it's in Vaishnav. What's that one? Bhakti. I think it's talking about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It may be based on what he discussed with the Goswamis in Navadvip.
Vaishnava and Brahmana?
Yeah, I think it's in there. Someone told me about it's probably around page 96 or something like that, where he's discussing how the jiva falls. Because the point is it's like a ball. It's either going up or going down. So either you connect to something there so you can stay, or then you'll come this way. You know. So the point is you're there. If you're Tathasta, you can't just remain there. It's either you're moving one way or the other, because you're small, you have to take shelter. So either you're moving forward. So we gave an example of people moving forward that were slow. But then you have those who get into that kind of stuff and aren't worried about Krishna. And so then they may be there in that form, and then when the pastime goes apricot, then they go to the material world. So if they want an exact time, then just take from, you know, Krishna's appearance to Dantavakra, then okay, that's your time. But point is as soon as you turn from Krishna, you are already in the material world. And as soon as you turn back to Krishna, you're already in the spiritual world. So there is no time. They've been looking at little boxes, other boxes with names in it too long, and that's that gap, you know, but there isn't one. It overlaps. No, that's why it says the beach. It's an overlap. So do you decide, am I going to be on the land or am I going to be in the water? That's you know, do you face the land or do you face the water? That's all. You face the land, you're on land. You face the water, you're in water. Yeah, because if you're facing the land, then the sea keeps coming in, even we're saying. But if you're facing the water, it's just the water keeps coming in, covering the land there. It's a different perspective. The ocean's doing its ocean thing, and then this land part is part of that. But if you face the other way, then it's part of the land. And you have to be careful of the water. So they're making too much of a distinction here. They're making a distinction where there doesn't need to be one. Overemphasizing that, because where does it ever talk about what they're talking about? No Upanishads talks about that. No, none of the acharyas, and none of the processes, none of the religious duties. So why overemphasize something and then try to make a philosophy out of it? Because all it'll do is keep you in the material world, and at best get you some liberation. But that liberation will be within Mahatattva. Because if you don't connect it to Krishna, you want to stay neutral, then you'll be here. You can be big jnani, you can be absorbed in Brahman, but you'll stay here. You have to... Mahakalapura. Like that. You know, you don't have to pay at least any electricity bills, and that's plenty bright and everything like that. You know, like that. Then, but we see is then with the four Kumaras and that, then they switch to the personality. And so now they're on that side. They're not in the material world anymore. So that's why the point is anadi. There's no time, so why should they be trying to put a time on it? It says no time, so why should you put a time? Yes?
I think that right now the future, the discussion is on this existent future. Now the next discussion will be on expansions of Krishna. There it's described jiva as like, no, the vibhinamsha and the expansion. They form the expansion. So when we discuss this point, it's only in terms of, as you said before, okay, how they exist. But then what about the relationship?
Mm-hmm.
If you are expanded from Krishna, it's like father and son. That's why Prabhupada always discusses it in terms of relationship rather than
their existence. That's true. Very good point. Very good. Very good point. Does that make sense? Because the point is, since we're coming from Krishna, then the point is we're Krishna's energy, so how does Krishna look at it? We see the first thing Krishna says is, we're eternal servant of Krishna. That's the first thing he says. When he says, who am I? First thing he says, servant of Krishna. So that has to be considered. They're thinking that I, as Tathasta, can function on my own, but we're an energy of how will energy is dependent on energetic.
I mean, we also read that part where it is mentioned that all the jivas in Golok, they expand from Balaram. Then all the jivas in Vaikuntha, they expand from Mahasankarsana. And all the jivas that come in here, they expansions of Paramatma, means Mahavishnu lying on the causal ocean. And like nobody was happy with that.
Yeah, because it's a prestige issue.
It's like, how come?
He says, well, why not? What, you have any other means?
Well, that's what I told. It's not we can't discuss it. It's just given. You have to accept it, but it's like, no.
So, where are they from? Where were they born?
Oh, somewhere.
Somewhere, but where?
Where?
Oh, Russia.
Yeah, but where in Russia?
Some different place.
Yeah, so it's not Moscow, so then what do you live with it? You know, it's like, you know, it's like that. You were born there, so you're a village guy, you know? Live with it.
Somebody's taken.
Huh?
Shukobdin only went in
now. Oh, okay. Okay.
Another point they didn't notice. I've noticed, but I just kept reading because I didn't want like.
Oh no! Whenever there's a point that you don't want them to ask a question on, you just keep reading and hopefully they don't ask.
So there was mentioned is that all the tathasta jivas to get to Krishna, they have to go through the sadhana. And nitya siddhas, they're all internal potency. So.
Yes, because they're in the nitya siddhas, they're in the fire of that internal potency. So they're non-different. So the point is being jivas, they're in that fire. So they were always in that fire. They as soon as they just immediately took advantage of that. That's the direction they took. Well, the ones that didn't, they're here. So that's what iron and fire. That's why so many times it's mentioned, it's fire. So in that way, they're internal potency. That's why the example is given of iron and fire. Otherwise, why would they use example of iron and fire if we can't become fire? But we become fire as iron and fire. That's the point. And so if you always stay in the fire, you'll always be fire. So that's why if you're always absorbed in Krishna, you're always fire. But if you give up, if you turn your face from Krishna, you're iron. That work?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Is that's why these examples are given. You know? Because they give us some kind of idea. We want to deal with the you know. So the point is that, okay, let us say, okay, then just look at it. Okay, then those that are coming from Balaram, then they're all absorbed in the pastimes and all that with Balaram, right? And that. Okay, so then if we're not there, if we don't have that mood, but we have a mood of, let's say, you know, the majesty and all that, then we'll be expanding from that aspect.
Yeah.
But if we don't have, you know, we've turned our face from Krishna, we don't have an interest at all, then who are we going to be expanding from?
Well, their point is not decided yet. Means it is Lord who decided, and then it's like putting a bottle of beer in front of alcoholic and saying, okay, man, you gotta control your senses. Right? Obviously, he can't do that.
No, but why would they be using? What's the logic in using it in that way?
The logic is that it's not decided. I mean, they want to put responsibility on.
Yes, but then that's the whole point, is you have to take responsibility for yourself. What we're saying is like, okay, let us do like this. Let us say, let's say, just for example, let us say some, big personality has come to, let's say, where do they have? A lot of times big bookstores, and they'll have a book signing.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So you have this big personality, and in there's always that element of kind of meet and greet kind of thing, right? They'll come, you can talk to them, they'll sign your book, and of course, as long as you bought the book, so I think when you walk in the door, you buy the book, and then you have the book, then they can sign it, right? And that. So then the point is now their response to you is going to be how you deal with them. So if you come up and you're very formal, I really like your book and like that, and I think you're doing a great job, and they're going to be very formal back. It's so nice to meet you. I've always wanted to meet you, like this and that. They're going to act differently. So it depends on your mood of dealing with them, how they respond. So how can they put it on Krishna? Oh, he made me this way. Because they're saying that but the point is manifest, is that here you manifest in the material world because you've chosen to not be attentive to Krishna. So naturally, you're going to be part of the glance of Mahavishnu. Balaram's not glancing at material energy. Mahasankarshan's not glancing at material energy. Right? Only Mahavishnu is.
Yeah.
Because it's your choice. You decide it. That's what it says here. You can choose. And when you've chosen, so if you're here, you've chosen to be here. That has to be understood. No ifs, no ands, and no buts. Does that make sense? It's our butt that's here. No one else's. Yes.
Also, we can use this analogy that a king and his son,
mm-hmm.
and he's identifying with his father in that close relationship, then he's as a son and father.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he identifies as king and I'm his heir, then it's like prince and king.
Right, right.
But when he identifies that he wants to be rebel, yes. then the king deals with him like, okay, the ministers will deal on the trail.
Yeah, that's a good... That works very nice.
Yeah, it's the same based on relationship.
It's all because that's the whole point. That's the thing, is that the original question went with, it's not about relationships. They're leaving relationships out. And then when you say this is who comes out, why? I want to be that, but then have a relationship. And then let's discuss relationship. Why it's at all, so it's always I'm not at fault. Why can't I have this or that? So you see, it's just that fragrance of our rebellious nature. I mean, they're nice devotees and everything like that, but you see is that the intelligence still has that element of rebellion to it. Because we don't want to take responsibility. We're here because we're here. That's why you see the acharyas in their songs, they're talking about, I'm the rat bag. That's why I'm here. They're not saying, somehow or another, but this and that, and I kind of ended up here, and what to do, I got to live with it, and like that. No, they don't talk like that. They talk, I turned from Krishna, I'm so, materially inclined, this and that. That's how you see the acharyas are talking. So why would we talk differently? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In any ways, if you're looking at it, there's the samvit aspect. And so what also is not being caught is samvit, then that's the jivas come from that aspect of the potency. Right? In the Sarup Shakti, they'll come from that aspect. Right? That's why, they're conscious and this and that. So now, Balaram is that original lord of that potency, then he expands as Mahanarayan, then he expands as a Mahavishnu. So it's the same person. That's also another mistake being made. They're trying to make it as three completely separate people. It's the same person, but depending upon mood and relationship, that's how he's going to interact. But otherwise, that Sandini potency is going to be one potency. The jiva, the tatastha shakti is one potency. It's just a matter of who are you interacting with. You can say, "Well, I didn't choose this." Says, "Well, what do you mean you didn't choose? Why are you here? You know, is there a glitch in the matrix or something like
that?" Yeah, it's a mistake. It's like misfortune. So.
Yeah, misfortune. Yeah, that's there. It's misfortune. But the misfortune is you turned away from Krishna. Because otherwise, why isn't it there? It means other devotees have come in contact with this philosophy, come in contact with the deity, come in contact with the holy name, come in contact with the Mahavishad. And we see like that, they're becoming great, great devotees. The same thing we're being exposed to. Why haven't we done? So whose fault is it?
That was circumstances.
Yes.
Nobody took
it. Yes. Circumstances. What to do?
Yeah, it's like trying to catch the water snake. It always.
Yeah, sorry, slippery. Yeah, yeah.
You can roll that thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, that's what to do. That's why these things aren't really for general discussion. Because it's one of those, either you catch it and then you can get into detail, or you don't catch it and it doesn't matter how much you discuss it, you'll just get more and more confused. That's all. So that's why it's a point not to discuss. But it's the, how you say, the feminine nature to want to know or have something that you aren't supposed to know or have. It's like it's the most important thing. And so being tatastha shakti, being feminine by nature, then, you know, on the material, we got to have that. When it's just that the acharyas say, don't bother with it.
I think in that chapter also it's mentioned that point that you need to experience and realize it. It's not a point.
Yeah, it's not intellectual. So that's a good point also.
Yeah.
You have to realize it.
Yeah, we read that comment by Babaji. Oh.
Yes. Yeah, so that it's a matter of, I mean, so if you hear it, don't realize or experience it, just means then don't worry about it now. It'll come later. You know, you have to put in the work.
Yeah. That's what I told them, actually, that it's not enough just to hear from me. Now you have to put some
yes.
some work in.
It means we're here to remove the doubts. You know, and then, you know, whenever you can, to whatever effectiveness you can, you know, get, deal with the misgivings. So these are misgivings.
Yeah.
And that. Because the doubt is, what about this and this? And then you explain it. Oh, okay, yeah. That's a doubt. Misgiving is that there's a samskar connected with it. The doubt means I have one understanding, another, I'm not quite sure. Intellectually doesn't work. Misgiving means there's an emotional attachment to something. And so then we do our best to remove that so that there's faith to apply the process and manana so that they'll get an understanding. Because removing doubt doesn't create the understandings, like you said. Applying it as manana, that's where you get the understanding. See, we're used to the thing is that if I've cleared the doubt, then you understand. Mm-hmm. And when they have realization, you know, it's actually only understanding. Because the guy's working with it, he's applying it, analyzing it, then he gets his realization. That's just called understanding by us.
Yeah.
Realization is another thing.
Yeah, we shift gears differently.
Yes, yes. Well, it's like the sahajas. As they take something higher and move it down, so on the intellectual platform we do the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's a intellectual sahajas.
Intellectual gymnastics,
yes.
That's, I think Srila Prabhupada mentions that.
Yes. Very good. He had such good terms. Yeah.
So yes. Basically, the doubts are removed at the level of the first, like faith, and then misgivings, the anartha nivritti is where one by one.
Yes. I mean, you try to deal with it, because if you can put a doubt about the misgiving, even though they can't give it up because of the emotional, at least then you have the aspect of that, if situations come up that could show it the other way by experience, they're more willing to accept it.
Basically, you have faith that misgiving will go away.
Yeah, and you want it to go away.
Yes,
you see it's there. But they have to also appreciate that that kind of mentality and those kinds of attachments aren't going to be favorable for devotional service. They may be there from our previous mentality, and that you can't. That's just the way it is. But by the devotional process, these things will be purified, and then you will be less affected. You know, until it comes to the point where you're unaffected. You know, so that's like you said, anartha nivritti.
Yeah.
You know, so that's all. It'll go there. Because that's all attachments to karma and jnana. That's what anartha nivritti is. Yes.
I have one more concept. When people ask from how long we have been here, so I was hearing that from Krishna's perspective, when one turns away from Krishna, then whole material world, one breath of Mahavishnu is 1,000 Divya Yugas. Just like within a moment, he will realize and come back there.
The living entity. It means if you're talking about eternal time, like how long can it be? But in our experience, it seems like a long time, because we're going to experience from our view, not from Krishna's. But the point is if you have affection for someone, separation, even a moment, is a long time. So Krishna therefore comes with a living entity and is in the heart. But, yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, it's okay. So, yeah, you try your best. You know, that's all you can do. So as long as they stay and keep coming, then it's good.
Yeah, no, they will keep coming.
Yeah, it means if they you know, throw down the thing and march out and, you know, like that, then okay, that may be, well, what can you do?
I used to have one devotee in my senior batch in college. When he comes, when he sits in the class, all the preachers, they used to fear what kind of question he will ask. You just keep asking questions. Somehow, everything on this point. And nobody has answered. But he's just like, I don't know why he asked what goes on in his mind. But he's a very good devotee. He practices just when it comes to the class, that it comes out of it. He used to throw. And now, till now, he's just overcoming it. But then, okay. Otherwise, he's very good.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Where were we?
The next verse, I think. 221.
We finished the Srila Prabhupada?
Yes, yes, Maharaj. The aspect of anadi.
Yeah, one should understand that due to his desire to enjoy himself in competition with Krishna, living entity comes from the material existence. So that directly it's us.
Yes.
Because all these discussions before, they're all on the just the tattva aspect, but the personal, the application of that, the relationship, then that's what's going on. Because others say, no, I'm this energy and stuff like that. But point is you've heard that from Krishna. And so Krishna, he says, this is how it is. So then you can't just take what you want of Krishna. Yeah. 2.20.118, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, in the material condition, the living entity is sometimes raised to a higher planetary systems. And material prosperity, and sometimes drowned in a hellish situation. His state is exactly like that of a criminal whom a king punishes by submerging him in water and then raising him again from the water. Srila Prabhupada. In the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 4.3.16, it is stated, Asango yayam purushaha, the living entity is always free from the contamination of the material world. One who is not materially infected and who does not forget Krishna is as his master is called Nityamukta. In other words, one who is eternally liberated from material contamination, is called Nityamukta. From time immemorial, the Nityamukta living entity has always been a devotee of Krishna, and his only attempt has been to serve Krishna. Thus he never forgets his eternal servitorship to Krishna. Any living entity forgets his eternal relationship with Krishna is under the sway of the material condition, bereft of the Lord's transcendental loving service. He is subjected to the reactions of fruit of activity. When he is elevated to the higher planetary systems due to worldly pious activities, he considers himself well situated. But when he is subjected to punishment, he thinks himself improperly situated. Thus, material nature awards and punishes the living entity. When the living entity is materially opulent, material nature is rewarding him. When he's materially embarrassed, material nature is punishing him. 2.20.119. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the living entity is attracted by the material energy, which is separate from Krishna, but he is overpowered by fear because he is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the material energy. His conception of life is reversed. In other words, instead of being the eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes Krishna's competitor, right? So that's the fear. Fear of their relationship with Krishna. That's why we see also in these conversations, the relationship with Krishna is not coming up here. Because of the natural fear. You know, and fear is the basis of the impersonal. And attachment's the basis of karma, or fruition. This is called viparyayo smritihi. To nullify this mistake, one who is actually learned and advanced worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his spiritual master, worshipable deity and source of life. He thus worships the Lord by the process of unalloyed devotional service. Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.37. It is an instruction given by Kavi Rishi, one of the nine saintly personalities called the nine yogendras. When Vasudeva, Krishna's father, asked Devarshi Narada and Dwarka about devotional service, it was mentioned that previously King Nimi, who was the king of Videha, was instructed by the nine yogendras. When Sri Narad Muni discoursed on Bhagavad Dharma, devotional service, he indicated how a conditioned soul can be liberated by engaging in the loving transcendental service of the Lord. The Lord is the Supersoul, spiritual master, and worshipable deity of all conditioned souls. Not only is Krishna the supreme worshipable deity for all living entities, but he is also the Guru, or Chaiti Guru, the Supersoul, who always gives the living entity good counsel. Unfortunately, the living entity neglects the Supreme Person's instructions. He thus identifies with the material energy and is consequently overpowered by a kind of fear resulting from accepting himself as the material body and considering paraphernalia related to the body to be his property. Right? Because the material body, since it's temporary, it's going to give fear. Because then fear of, you know, if I gain anything, will I lose it? You know, will anything happen to the body? This, that. So everything's based on fear. Something good happens, will it maintain? Will I lose it? Like that. All kinds of fruitive results actually come from the spirit soul. But because he has forgotten his real duty, he is embarrassed by many material consequences, such as fear and attachment. The only remedy is to revert to the service of the Lord and thus be saved from the material nature's unwanted harassment. So it's not coming from the body. It's not coming from the subtle body. It's coming from the soul. That we're encaged in fruit of activity and the results of action and reaction is because of the living entity, not because of the body. The body's dead matter. The subtle body's dead matter. The soul, by their consciousness, chooses to be involved in that. They may engage, therefore, the mind and body. But it's the soul that's the cause. Does that make sense? So working under Maya, therefore they get this. But if they turn their attention to Krishna, Now, they work under the internal potency. Right? So there's no time and space when you're dealing with these things. Right? So as I pointed out before, he's eternally liberated. Always free from the Brihadaranyakupan. The living entity is always free from the contamination of the material world. He's always free, but he chooses to have material consciousness. So we've chosen that. Yes, he's always free, but we've chosen. So it's not technically affecting the soul, his position, but because his consciousness is absorbed in the material, he's identifying with it, therefore he goes through all the suffering. Right? Because where he puts his consciousness, that's where his identity is going to be, and therefore then if it goes nicely or not, then that's where he's going to. But when you see it identify with Krishna, servant of Krishna, then you just see how to serve Krishna. So whatever situation, you're serving Krishna. So it's not about action and result. It's about serving Krishna. And in there, you're going to perform actions that give results. But even if that there's obstacles that it takes time, you're still just seeing what will be good for doing the service. Like for us, because I want to enjoy, I'm not getting, so I'm frustrated. But the other, no, it's about serving Krishna. So you're just always serving. If it comes, things come quickly, they come slowly. That's not a problem for the soul. Does that make sense?
No, it's like a mind.
Yeah, like a drum.
With choice. You know,
just with Maya as the director.
Yes, yes.
And the producer.
Yes, and she's your expert.
Yes, yes. She's head of the instrument, she's head of the costuming, she's head of... Basically, we give an indication, but how that works, then you see, is that it's like, what is the hero? You have all these qualities. Do you have those qualities? No, so then you have to work for it.
Yes.
Nevertheless, we are the hero. Despite the lack of qualities, we are the hero for our own drama.
Yes, no, we're always the hero for our own drama, but at the same time, is what quality of hero may not be up to what we would like it to be.
I think that you need to arrange some drama to understand the
rules. Yeah, they have a theater. They're actually very, in terms of arts, they're quite good.
Yeah, well, that's good. We just have to see that one point, the mentality, is about affecting the consciousness of others, but it's that you're taking part in the process, not that you're doing it.
Yeah, this is the main difficulty.
Yeah, so that one thing, if you can get it across, then working with the whole acting scene is very pleasant. Yeah. But if that's not gotten across, then that is the point where one wonders how much is, whether that field is your calling or not. Yes. 221.19. We already read that?
Yes,
ma'am. Oh, yeah, no, Achaita Guru. Oh, 220.120. Wow. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. If the conditioned soul becomes Krishna conscious by the mercy of saintly persons who voluntarily preach scriptural injunctions and help him to become Krishna conscious, the conditioned soul is liberated from the clutches of Maya, who gives him up. Mm-hmm. Right? Because if you're following that, then Maya will leave you alone. Because the whole point is she's here to take. So it's like the person who ends up in the prison. Because of their mentality, then they get punished. They behave more badly, they get further punished. That means they're supposed to be in the jail for X amount of time. But depending how they behave there, they can either have a better situation there or a worse situation there. But as soon as they take on the mentality of a citizen and that mood, that's when they'll be let out. Srila Prabhupada. A conditioned soul is one who has forgotten Krishna as his eternal master. Thinking that he is enjoying the material world, the conditioned soul suffers the threefold miseries of material existence. Saintly persons, sadhus, Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, preach Krishna consciousness on the basis of the Vedic literature. It is only by their mercy that the conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness, right? So they preach on the basis of Vedic literature, not from something else. Because, why? Because Krishna is the original guru. He gives the Vedic literature. And so therefore then the devotees, as servants of Krishna, base it on Krishna's instructions. So it'll be the Vedic literature. All right? And you're following the footsteps of the great acharyas. So however they've commented and instructed on Krishna's instructions, then we are following them. It is only by their mercy that the conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness. When awakened, he is no longer eager to enjoy the materialistic way of life. Instead, he devotes himself to the loving transcendental service of the Lord. When one engages in the Lord's devotional service, he becomes detached from material enjoyment. Bhakti pare shanu bhavo viraktir anyatra chaisha trika eka kalaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42. This is the test by which one can tell whether he's advancing in devotional service. One must be detached from material enjoyment. Such detachment means that Maya has actually given the conditioned soul liberation from illusory enjoyment. When one is advanced in Krishna consciousness, he does not consider himself as good as Krishna. Whenever he thinks that he is the enjoyer of material advantages, he is imprisoned in the bodily conception. However, when he is freed from the bodily conception, he can engage in devotional service. Which is his actual position of freedom from the clutches of Maya. Right? So we see is that there's only two positions here. And any position that's in between, that we were talking about earlier, that's temporary, because actually it's just an extension of the material. So you have Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, which are material, and then you have Bhakti, like that, or Prema, right? So the point is from that situation of Moksha, applying Bhakti, that brings us to Prema. Does that make sense? So that's the best situation to be in. Is the Dharma Artha Kama, then the moksha aspect, that's there. And so that's where devotees then apply their sadhana. Right? So the Vijnana Maya is the platform they work from. And then from there, they're going for Ananda Maya. So there isn't, so this concept of liberation that's not connected with Ananda Maya, as in a relationship with the Lord, doesn't exist. Does that make sense?
It's only in the mind.
It's only in the mind, yeah. And the mind can come up with so many, you know, varieties of, you know, I'm sure you can take each philosophy and show, you know, where it comes in the thing and how it's like this, you know. Does that make sense? So you're going to have the big jnanis, you know, the Brahmavadis at one end, and you're going to have Descartes at the other. You know, and so, and then everybody else, and then above Descartes will be the animals, and then like this, then, you know, it'll just progress. No? Yes. They're just speculating because they catch a point and then build something out of that, and catch this and a point and they try to work it out. So they basically work together. And so Shankaracharya just gave them some points that they could and something to work with, but he didn't really connect them nicely together. And so then when they come in contact with other philosophies, they won't have so much problem because Vedanta will cover a wider range at the more depth. But when they come across the Vaishnavas, that's where the problem begins. And but even before that, within themselves, because he hasn't properly connected, each one speculating will connect it slightly different. And so then you get so many schools. Of those, three main have been there. like that. But you see, is even within one, it has its derivatives, and then you know. But then another one then has, and so something that answers one hasn't answered another, and this and that. So it's just a general, you know, hodgepodge of all these, anything that keeps you away from Krishna, but not enjoying the material nature. So there isn't a position of just sitting there.
I think Madhvacharya, then that's why he raises the explanation, first explaining that first there is unconscious matter and then there is jiva. Then he segregates jiva as Svatantra Jiva and Paratantra Jiva. So Svatantra Jiva is Supreme Lord and then Paratantra Jiva is the living entity.
Living entity.
So in that sense, then, their individual position doesn't
matter. Okay, yeah. Otherwise, you can always invite them, you know, for a walk, you know, from, you know, around that your neighborhood over there. There must be someone there who has, you know, on the wall of that, those some kind of, you know, the cast iron, like, fence that has the points on them. So tell them that, you know, you and some of the others there can comfortably, you know, I mean, some endeavor, but, you know, you're willing to work for others' benefit. We will put you on top of that, and you can sit there. So then you won't have the problem of being on the road, but at the same time, as you're not in the guy's, you know, so then he can't complain. And that's, you know. Oh, you have those. Okay, so then you can have all these.
Well, that's too personal.
Put them facing out.
To the beach.
Yes. That way, they're all facing east, so they can do the Gayatri in the morning.
Practical application.
Yes, practical. Okay. Okay. This is all explained in the following verse from the Bhagavad Gita 7:14, 220, 121, 122. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. End quote. The conditioned soul cannot revive his Krishna consciousness by his own effort, but out of causeless mercy. Lord Krishna compiled the Vedic literature and its supplements, the Puranas. And so it's never just by your own effort. It means you put in effort, whichever direction you take, that's where you'll get the support. So if you're going to the material, then material energy, you're going to the spiritual, that. So through the mercy of devotees, you can come into material, to spiritual platform and know Krishna. By the mercy of the gross materialists, then you can develop all those nice qualities. And they're very merciful. They write so many books, they have so many programs.
So tatastha is a position but not a situation.
Yes, it's a position but not a situation. That's what we were saying before. The internal potency, because you see, as we said, when sandini, which creates situations, is applied on the internal potency, then you get the dham, all the forms, you know, everything that's there. That's that. When it's applied on the external potency, then you get the 14 planetary systems, which have, you know, all the situations. You know, they have the water situations, you have the coastal, you have the valleys, you have the mountains, you have all these things are all created. But on the Tatastha Shakti, when Sandini is applied, it gives its influence. You just get consciousness, that the living entity has consciousness. So it's not a situation. So that's why you have to be in one situation or the other. So that's just who you are. Now you choose. So it's not, Tatastha is not a place. Spiritual world's a place, material world's a place, Tatastha is not a place. It's the point that's between the two. things. So they're both there, but we're looking at material energy, so we're going to have trouble there. You turn to the spiritual energy, then you're there. So you have to take shelter of one or the other. It's whichever way you face. Like you said, you face the ocean, then it's just a matter of ocean coming and going. You face the land, then your land and the water can be a disturbance, so you move up a bit. So that's what I was saying, the jiva. See, in the material energy, you can just stay there and the water will wash over. Or you can go into the water if you want. But the other is then you move up on the land. So that's when iron is like fire. Iron and fire. Mm-hmm. So then that's one is nitya. That makes you nitya siddha. Right?
It seems that the difficulty is to choose.
The choice.
The choice means with consciousness, knowing what are the results.
Yes.
Because sometimes you want to be Krishna conscious, but there are material attachments.
So yes, but the point is then those material attachments, because it's Krishna's energy, then we connect them to Krishna.
Yes,
so
yes.
We want to work with these particular areas, so we can work with these areas, but in connection with Krishna. So that's then what we're trying to do.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of understanding that, because otherwise someone will say, okay, well, I do my chant, my japa and all that, but then I have all this thing, and then they get into that. So it becomes mixed devotional service. You know. And so but for the devotees, so they're facing Krishna in this and not facing in that, but the proper is that you're facing Krishna from the attached situation, that you have these, but you're using it for Krishna. You're connecting to Krishna, seeing it in the context of Krishna. And doing the best you can.
Yes.
And so that itself then will lend that it all starts working out.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay, the conditioned soul cannot revive his Krishna consciousness by his own effort. But out of causeless mercy, Lord Krishna compiled the Vedic literature and it supplements the Puranas. Right, so now you apply your effort with this causeless mercy of Krishna. Mm-hmm. You have the Vedic literature, it supplements, and as mentioned before, then the association of the Vaishnavas. Mm-hmm. So that effort now applied, that will give us results. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't take it, it's not by my own effort, so I don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Srila Prabhupada. A conditioned soul is bewildered by the Lord's illusory energy, Maya. Maya's business is to keep the conditioned soul forgetful of his real relationship with Krishna. Thus, the living entity forgets his real identity as spirit soul, Brahman, and instead of realizing his factual position, thinks himself the product of the material energy. According to Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.5, Yaya samohito jiva atmanam tri gunatmakam paropi manute nartam tat kritam cha cha bhipadyate. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries. Because he thinks he's that. Because although transcendental, you know, that was the point made before by, was it the Upanishad? The living entity is always free from the contamination of the material world.
Mm-hmm.
But because he identifies himself, he thinks of himself as a product of material. Therefore, then material nature acts upon him. But he gives that up and identifies as Brahman, as the Lord's servant. Then that all goes away. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.